Okay. So as we typically do, we're going to ask three questions, and with Hashem's help, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll come up with a mahalech, with an understanding to give insight into all these various questions that perhaps would give us a greater clarity into a theme on this week's parsha. So the Mishnah in Avos, in the fifth chapter, Mishnah 19 tells us, "Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu." Anyone who has biyado in his hand these three things, mitalmidav shel Avram Avinu, is from disciples of Avram Avinu. Ushlosha dvarim acherim, and three other things, mitalmidav shel Bilam HaRasha. And the Mishnah comes and tells us that Ayin Tova, Beruach Nemucha, Benefesh Shafala, those are the Talmidim of Avram Avinu, someone who's humble, who's selfless, someone who has a pleasant eye, those are from the students of Avram Avinu. And Ayin Ra, Beruach Gevoa, Benefesh Rechava, are mitalmidav shel Bilam HaRasha. So the question that I would like to pose is, the Mishnah is not congruent. There's no balance in the Mishnah. Let me explain. The Mishnah tells us, kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu. Anyone who has biyado in his hand, shlosha dvarim halalu, these three things, or midos, they are from the students of Avraham Avinu. And then, when it enumerates and enunciates what Bilam HaRasha, it says, ushlosha dvarim acherim. And three other things are from the students of Bilam HaRasha. It should just say as well, anyone who has biyado shlosha dvarim halalu is from the students of Avraham Avinu. V'chol mi she'en biyado shlosha dvarim, mi talmidav shel Bilam HaRasha. But it doesn't say that. It should say that, but it doesn't. Now, what gives even greater credence to my question is the previous Mishnah comes and tells us, kol hamizakeh harabim, whoever strengthens the rabim, ein chet baal yado, v'chol hamachtiyas harabim, ein maspikin biyado lasos tshuva. In other words, it's a very balanced type of Mishnah. Whoever is mezake, yesh biyado. Whoever is machti esarabim, ein biyado. So I would think in the following Mishnah, kol mish yesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu are the students of Avraham Avinu. V'chol mish ein biyado shlosha dvarim halalu, they're from the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. But it doesn't say that. And therefore, my opening question is, why not? We obviously know in this week's parsha, Bilam was commissioned by Balak to curse Bnei Yisrael. As the pasuk tells us in this week's parsha, Perech of Beis Pasuk Hei, Vayishlach Malachim El Bilam Ben Baor, and Balak had sent emissaries, messengers, to Bilam, the son of Baor, Likrolo, to call him, Lamor, Hine Am Yotza Mitzrayim, there's a people that has come out of Mitzrayim, Hine Chisos Ein Haaret, it has covered the eye of the land, V'hu Yoshev Mimuli, and it rests opposite me. And therefore, V'atoy now L'chona, orally, please come and curse Es Ha'am Azeh, this nation, Ki Otzum Hu Mimeni, because it's more powerful than me. And Rashi comments on this pasuk,
Bibnei ma hishra HaKadosh Baruch Hu shchinoso al goy rasha. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu place his shchina upon this wicked guy? Clearly he had this special power, this koach, to come and invoke curse. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have given this person, who was such a rasha, such a wicked person, this power to do such a terrible, terrible thing? So says Rashi, "Kedei shelo yehei pischon peh leumos," so that the nations of the world would not have a pischon peh, they wouldn't have an excuse. Lomar saying, "Ilu hayu lanu neviim," were we to have had neviim, prophets, "Chazarnu lemutav," we as well would have repented. And therefore, hemid lahem neviim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maimid, he established neviim, prophets, for them. But the obvious question is that even with HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the nations of the world a prophet, such as Bilam, they still would have a pischon peh. They would still have an excuse as to why they have not been chozer b'tshuva, why they didn't repent. They could come and turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave Bnei Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu. Us, you gave Bilam. He was a rasha. He was an evil person. He was the epitome of rishus for generations and generations. He was the granddaddy of tuma, of dysfunction. This is a person that had come and had relations with his donkey. He was a terrible human being. He was about kavod, about taiva, about mamon, all of the midos that a person should not possess, Bilam possessed."
It never says he has a relationship with his donkey.
And therefore, they again still have a pischon peh. They still have what to come and say, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair." So how do we understand Rashi's understanding as to how giving the Gentile nation Bilam comes and shuts up or does not give them any credibility to stand on, that if they would have had a Navi, then they would have been different? And that is our second question. And our third question is, it's very difficult to understand Balak. After all, the Psukim tell us by Yisro, "Vayishma Yisro Chohen Midyan," that Yisro, who is the Chohen Midyan, the priest of Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard all that had happened to Bnei Yisrael as they left Mitzrayim. And ultimately, Yisro's response was to come and join, become connected with this illustrious people. And yet, when it comes to Balak, unlike hearing, he actually saw. Vayar Balak ben Sipor. What he saw should have had a greater impact, should have compelled him and propelled him to come and join Bnei Yisrael. And yet, Balak saw all that had happened to the Amorites. And what's his reaction? Vayishlach malachim el Bilam, ve'atah lecha nara arali es ha'amazel. Come and curse this people. How is it possible that Yisro heard what had happened and he felt compelled to join Am Yisrael? But Balak, he actually saw what had happened. He saw what happened to the enemies of Bnei Yisrael. And his reaction was, V'ata inel l'cha na arali es ha'am hazeh.
What's the difference?
So in order to answer this question, you have to read the psukim very carefully. When it came to Yisro, the pasuk says that Yisro had heard Eskol Asher Asa Elokim Lemoshe Uli Yisrael Amo. Ki Hotzi Hashem Es Yisrael Mimitzrayim. That Yisro understood that it was impossible for Bnei Yisrael to have left Mitzrayim unless there was divine intervention. He saw the Yad Hashem. He understood that this cannot be a people that had just overtaken their enemy and left. It wasn't that the Jewish people were greater in might and strength. He saw the Yad Hashem. He understood intuitively that this was the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the psukim say that Yisro had heard as Kol Asher saw Elokim Uli Moshe Yisrael Amo Ki Hotzi Hashem Es Yisrael Mimitzrayim. But when it came to Balak, the pasuk tells us Vayar Balak Ben Sipor Es Kol Asher saw Yisrael Lo Emori. All that Yisrael had done to the Amorites. Balak did not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He thought that it was a man-made war. And therefore, it makes sense when he comes to Bilam and he says, V'ata l'cha na'ar ali es ha'amaz, ki atzum hu mimeni. They are too powerful for me. Curse this people because they're mightier than me. Balak didn't understand that this was a people that was divine in origin. They are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. They are the Am HaNivchar. It wasn't that they were strong. It's that they had the gravitas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifting up and propelling Bnei Yisrael. Yisro understood that. Yisro understood that there was something beneath the surface. Yisro understood that this is a people that is a godlike people that ultimately brought them out of Mitzrayim. Balak couldn't understand that idea, and ultimately that is what caused him to act in such a destructive way that ultimately brought about his destruction and Bilam's as well. And that is going to help us understand why it was that even coming and appointing Bilam as the Navi for the Gentile nation, that would have been enough to quiet their complaints that perhaps if you would have given us a prophet. Because the Gentile nation, they didn't look at a Navi like we understand a Navi. Klal Yisrael understood a Navi to enhance our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The point of a Navi was to come and teach Klal Yisrael that this is what you are doing and this is wrong. You're suffering as a people because you're not following the ways of Hashem. And ultimately, we need a righteous prophet because it's only a righteous prophet that can propel Klal Yisrael to be chozer b'tshuva, to repent, to return to the Almighty. But the Gentile nation, explains Reb Eli Baruch Finkel, they weren't interested in having a prophet that would propel them to tshuva, that would cause them to repent. But rather, all they wanted was this figure. They wanted a figurehead, similar to a queen or a king of a nation. that doesn't really have any credibility, that isn't dealing with the day-to-day grind of the nation. They didn't want the Moshe Rabbeinu. All they wanted was so that they can tell their friends, look at the type of person that we have that's leading our people. He's got name recognition. He's someone that we can tell our friends, he's one of ours. That's not Am Yisrael. That's not our Navi, and that's not our prophets. They wanted to have a prophet in name and name only. We have a prophet because the prophet's function, tachlis, purpose, is to ensure that Am Yisrael is connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gentile nations, they would have come to Hashem and said, we want a prophet like they do. But not for the very same reason that we want and need and demand a prophet. They wanted it to be very shtachi, very superficial. They wanted it to be in name and name only. Balak. Balak was shtachi. Balak didn't go beneath the surface to investigate why is this people so successful? How are they able to overcome the Amorites? How are they able to leave Mitzrayim? He didn't go beyond the surface. And ultimately, that was the cause of his destruction. And that is the reason why there would not have been a pischon peh. There would not have been an excuse if you would have given us someone like Moshe. They weren't interested in someone like Moshe. They only wanted a name and name only, name recognition. Something shtachi, very superficial, very on the surface. Balak was surface. His nation was very surface. The Gentile nations very surface. And that is precisely, I believe, why the Mishnah in Avos comes and tells us, Kol mi sheyesh bo shlosha dvarim halalu. Whoever has these three ideas are mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu, ushlosha dvarim acherim is from Talmidam of Bilam HaRasha. Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu. A yad means that you're tofes something. The Mishnah tells us, Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu. Whoever has these three things in his hand, they are the talmidim of Avraham Avinu. To latch on to something means that you're tofes it, you've conquered it. You've acquired it. It's not something superficial. It belongs to you now. In Chazal, when something has gravitas, when something is definitive, it's referred to as Yodayim. Because Yodayim means that it's not superficial. I'm latching on, I'm grabbing on to something. And that's the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. A Talmud of Avraham Avinu is someone that has been toe-faced, that spent and learnt and toiled to acquire those midos. As the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Avodas Chachavim, that Kevan Shenigbal Eitan Zeh, that at the time that Avraham Avinu was 3 years old, Hischil is shotet bedaito v'hu katan. He began to question. V'hischil lakshov. He was thinking day and night, and he was always bothered. How does the world survive? Who is the source of everything in this world? Who is the manik? Who is the one that's controlling the entire world? And he didn't have a melamed. He didn't have a teacher. No one taught him anything. He was shakua bor kazim. He was immersed. And he was assimilated into the Gentile society among the idolaters. But he came to recognize by himself that there is Eloka Echad. And he understood that there's nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that idolatry is frivolous and it's empty. That was Avraham Avinu at the age of 40. Hikir, as Boro, he recognized his creator. That's someone who has biyodo. He has in his hand. He was toe-faced. He latched onto this idea. And now it's his. He's acquired it for himself. When it's a Talmud of Avraham Avinu, it's biyodo. But when we're referring to Bilam HaRasha, everything is very superficial. Ushlosha dvarim acherim. Three other ideas. The Sukkas David, he explains so beautifully. I want to share with you his words. He says, Dafilu yeshbo averos nami. Even if a person were to have averos, he has sin, shenichshol b'chatoyim, and he stumbles with other types of sins. Mikol makom, nonetheless, im yeshbo nami midos hatobos halalu. If he has these midos of having a pleasant eye and he's humble, he has humility, he still would be called a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. And conversely, there could be someone who does many mitzvos and very few averos. But if he possesses an ayin ra, a bad eye, if he possesses an ayin ra, and he's haughty, and he flaunts himself, even if he has many, many mitzvos, nonetheless, he's referred to as the Talmidim. He's referred to as the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. How do you understand that? So explains the Sukkas David or David Kviat. He says that this Mishnah is talking about Atzmuso Shel Adam, the essence of a person. In other words, what's in a person's kishkas? What's not superficial? Who is this person really? How does he identify? So indeed, it could be that this person is an avaryan. He does averos. But those averos are shtachi. They're superficial. That's not really who he is. Perhaps he has to work on certain things that are deficient. Maybe he has certain taivas. But Be'etzen, that's not who he is. He's not an avaryan. He's a Talmud. He's a student of Avraham Avinu. Because really, he's not a superficial person. He thinks. And he's kind and he's generous. He has an ayin tova. He thinks about his place in the world. He understands that he has to be generous as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is generous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has humility. That's his Atzmuso Shel Adam. That's not just his superficiality. But that is who he is. That is his essence. But then you can have someone who on the surface might appear as if he's a tzaddik. He might do a lot of mitzvos. But beneath the surface, he's stingy, he's miserly, and he's haughty. Perhaps he's only doing the mitzvah because he wants other people to say how great he is. That is not a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. That's a Talmud of Bilam HaRasha, whose essence, his mahus, if you dig beneath the veneer, beneath the surface, you'll come and you'll understand that indeed he's not a disciple, he's not a student of Avraham Avinu, but rather he's a disciple of Bilam HaRasha. This is a parsha, and these are people that ultimately are shtachi, are very superficial. Balak, he didn't see the Yad Hashem. Balak didn't see the Yad Hashem. And ultimately, him not being able to see the Yad Hashem caused him, unlike Yisro, to want to curse Bnei Yisrael. Because he didn't realize, he didn't dig beneath the surface. Instead, he thought that it was the strength of Am Yisrael, not realizing that this is the Am HaNifchar, the chosen nation. And the nations of the world, they weren't interested in being Chozer Lemutav, of being Chozer B'tshuva. That wasn't their purpose, that wasn't their intent of having a Navi, having a prophet. They just wanted to be able to put a prophet on the pedestal and let everyone know, look, we can't compete with the Jews. They have their Moshe Rabbeinu, but we have our Bilam. But if they would have had true and real motivations behind a prophet like Am Yisrael, then indeed they would have had an excuse, a pislon peh, why did you not give us a Moshe Rabbeinu? And indeed, that would have been a valid excuse. Why did they not have a Moshe Rabbeinu, but they weren't interested? And that is precisely why the Mishnah only references the expression of biyado, of in one's hand, when it comes to being a Talmud, a disciple of Avraham Avinu. Because biyado means to have a tfisa, to have a connection, to latch on to something, to acquire it, to make it yours. Not just superficial, but to really investigate, to look, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? How can I emulate Hashem? That's only a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. So even if a person is nichshal, and he does Averos, but he possesses those three qualities of Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, V'Nevesh Shefala, he's a Talmud of Avraham Avinu, because at least he has it with sincerity. He's sincere. He cares. He has internalized the message of what it means to emulate Hashem. He has it biyado. He's latched onto it. He's acquired. He's taken it. But even if there's a person who on the surface looks as if he's a tzaddik, but he possesses the midos of a bilam of Ayin Ra, Ruach Gavoa, B'Nefesh Rechava, he will still be considered to be a Talmud of Bilam, because perhaps he's only doing the mitzvos in a very superficial level without truly understanding and internalizing the mitzvos. The mitzvos are there to simply have a dveikus, have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mirtza Hashem, we should align ourselves with Avraham Avinu. Our mitzvos and our midos should be biyado. They should be biyado in our hand. We shouldn't be a Bilam HaRasha who's very shtachi, very superficial. It should be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see, and who he is, he's the Bochein Levavos. He should see and he should align us with the Talmidim of Avraham and not the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha.